Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. I am Luke, and it feels so good to say that after a summer hiatus of rest, at least rest from recording The Breakdown, but it has not been a very restful summer. It was a fun summer full of many wonderful things, and joining us today is Pastor Kurt. Welcome.
Yeah, I should say welcome back to you, Luke. I think welcome back to The Breakdown, Luke. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be back too.
Like you said, it hasn't been quiet.
It was not quiet.
Peaceful and quiet, but hey, just a great time to reiterate that The Breakdown is an amazing opportunity coming off of a Sunday.
Yes.
To hear like a couple of people dialoguing. When you first started this, you know, your vision was, hey, there's such a deep passage or a deep message that's being communicated on a Sunday. We should model for believers what it looks like to dissect it.
Yes.
And meditate on it, excuse me, throughout the week. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I love that we're still doing it. I love that you're here. I love that you have on different guests. And thanks for having me.
Hey, you are welcome back anytime. A lot of you probably have been listening for the last couple of years, but if you're new to the church, Pastor Kurt and I started out doing this together back in 2022.
Maybe.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Been a while.
It has definitely grown as we have grown and matured. It's just so cool to be part of what God is doing here in this place. The summer was full of so many cool things. I get to be part of the youth group. So there's a lot of cool stuff with that. Camp Clear.
Yes.
There were missions trips, Mexico, Moldova.
I feel like you were a part of everything this summer. There wasn't one thing you weren't a part of.
I don't do softball.
Okay. Well, that's more of like spring into summer.
Yeah.
It kind of ends by like May. So
I think
you did almost everything that was being offered this
Not
summer.
Not VBS.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was in Moldova, so you can't be in two places at once.
You can't be in two places at once. So I'm trying to honor you and telling you all the amazing things you did. You're telling me what you didn't do, but that's fine. That's totally fine. Hey, speaking of what you did, you were at the singles event this past weekend.
I was.
So tell me, there's so many things we could catch up on. Look at, I'm running it. Like, I'm running this
show. Keep going.
Tell me a little bit about it. You had different age demographics?
Yeah. So it was at level 99 in Providence.
Some people may not know what that is.
So at level 99 is, you can think of it as this place to go and like play games.
Okay.
But the games are in these little chambers or these pods.
Mm-hmm.
And every pod has its own mission that you can accomplish.
Gotcha.
And you kind of get some clues on the screen before you badge in with your group and go in. But you still don't quite know exactly how it works until you go in. So there's like a little bit of a learning curve. You have to work together, very fast paced, but there's all different kinds of games. There's brain games, physical games.
Which I think is a really cool thing.
You know, if you have the people
who are more like, we get into some of those rooms and the one with the table settings is like a nemesis for me. But some of my family are really good with their brain and they can do it. And I would rather take just give me the room where I'm running through axes or something, you know?
Yeah, and the games go very quick.
They're
usually about like 3 minutes or around there.
Yeah.
And then you just go to another room.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool place to get to know people. And then also even people that you do know, like you'll get to see different giftings as you're pointing out.
How was the connection both before and after and throughout?
So we showed up.
Okay.
And we had an opportunity for dinner. So you checked in.
You got
a bracelet so that you could be identified by a letter and a caller for your age bracket. Which went into played out later when they would swap us into different groups. So throughout the night after dinner, you got to have 4 30-minute rounds of playing with different groups of people, which is really fun.
Hey, that's cool.
Kept the night moving quick. I had an awesome time.
Okay.
And there were lots of people from other churches.
Oh, it's great, dude.
You could definitely see people making connections. I made some new friends, and you never know where those things go.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for the next event.
Okay. Hey, that's really
cool. And there will be more singles events.
I think that's what's nice to hear, you know, and I don't know the exact, I think it's like 18 to 40, maybe? Is that where it is? I don't know.
It was about 18 to 40. Yeah, there was an 18-year-old, some people in that age bracket. Mostly it was targeted towards 20s, 30s, and 40s.
20s, 30s, 40s.
But
thank
you.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. And we have an amazing young adults program here too. So just really cool. I think it's a great, healthy church to be a part of and see what God is doing.
Absolutely. And it was cool to see other people from the Christian community around us.
That's awesome, so, dude. I'm so glad to hear that.
Which again, I want to emphasize to people that are listening, allow God to broaden your scope from just your own individual walk and even just the walk that he has our church in to see how it fits into the context of this region and then the nation and the world.
Yes.
Because God is at work reaching the entire world.
That's exactly right.
When we read the Great Commission, like where Jesus says, you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we forget that we are part of the ends of the earth.
We do. We're on the back end of that. Yes. That's us, guys. Hello. Unless you're sitting in America and you're Jewish, you're like us. You're the rest of the Gentiles who were like, we were the end.
Yeah.
But thank God.
And that is so cool. Yeah. And it gives you this broader context for your life.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, man, you're saying so much right now that we can't even get into. However, you did say something that Pastor Zach was bringing up on Sunday, and it's the idea that if you are in the framework and philosophy that you're sitting at home with your cup of coffee on your deck or by your poolside having church, you're not.
You're not having church.
And if that's you know, confrontational to you, it's okay, because we all tend, or we all can, for one reason or another, isolate.
Yes.
And that is part of why the writer of Hebrews says, do not forsake gathering together with the local community of believers, especially as the day grows closer. So when Christ returns, he is looking for a unified body. And like you said, like, we have to be mindful that we're a part of a bigger picture.
Amen.
And, you know, there are a lot of different reasons, I think, why we drop off and we isolate, but we have to learn to kind of confront those issues and work through them and realize that we are called to be brothers and sisters with one another. We're a part of the same body.
Amen. And I believe that in these days, that is what the Holy Spirit is really at work in. And you see this throughout the world, where it's people are uniting under the banner of who Jesus is.
Yes.
And laying aside these denominational divides or theological divides, which this message plays into.
It really does. That's why I was bringing it up.
But that's what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool, because, you know, Jesus said, he said to his Father, I pray that they would be one.
Yeah.
And it's not that there isn't division. There's division between us and the world.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, you know, I came to divide.
Yeah.
But it's a division between those who are saved and those who are not.
Yeah.
And it's important that we see each other through that lens of they are my brother and sister in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, you know, if you're going to catch this, this show at the beginning of City Quake, you know, if you've not really stepped out and learned to communicate, you know, because you just said those who are saved and those who are not, listen, we are called to make disciples and we are called to preach the gospel. And when you preach the gospel and you're scattering seed, you are giving opportunity for people to respond in faith. That word doesn't return void. And so it's going to hit a heart. And when you're preaching the word and when you're connecting with people through love, you know, and that's the thing. Sometimes as believers, we actually don't know how to do this outside of our church culture. Like, we all have a context and an understanding for one another. We can say things and we get it.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we take that out to a lost, hurting, and dying world?
Yeah.
And the answer is love. Jesus actually showed us what to do.
Right.
We have just forgotten. We have just lost that concept. And we forgot that it was more than likely the goodness of God that led us to a place of repentance.
Yes.
You know? And so I think being able to learn how to do that is awesome. So City Quake will actually be kicking off by the time the show airs. City Quake is kicking off, but you can register for any day. The information's on our website. Nevertheless, you talked about it being a busy summer. It's a busy fall, and God is preparing us. You and I have always found that the messages that God is bringing forth on a Sunday, whether it's a prophetic utterance or whether it's through pastors' communication or even just in worship, it is sort of a prophetic picture of where we're going as a church.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And so be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit would have you sign up for and be part of, but take a step of faith.
Yeah.
You know, step out and do something. If you're not in a group, get in a group.
Yeah.
If you're not serving in a ministry, seek the Lord as to where he would have you serve, because the more you get involved in exercising your faith, the more you realize how much the Lord has done in you.
Yes.
And this really is a grow as you go.
That's awesome.
Life.
That's awesome. All right. So we're going to tackle this word.
Let's go.
Pastor Zach was bringing to us on Sunday. It's Romans chapter 8. If you didn't get into it, get into it. Listen to the message, watch the message, and then come back here and check out the breakdown, or check out the breakdown first. So, so we're here in Romans 8, Luke. Where are we picking up, bud?
So I think what's cool, Pastor Zach emphasized that the church in Rome needed theology.
Yeah.
Romans has so much That's theology. So I've even heard some theologians refer to it as the Gospel of Paul, because this is like where Paul lays out so much of what the gospel is.
And
really identifies, you know, the role of the Jewish people and then the role of God's, you know, saving us through grace. Like these core foundational doctrines come from this book. And good. Pastor Zach talked about how the church in Rome needed theology. And if you think of Rome as the center of the world at that time, you know, they had people from everywhere. The Romans would basically assimilate all these other cultures into theirs. It was like, it was a melting pot.
Yes.
And it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. You know, if you go to Rome, like you'll hear them, they call it the Eternal City.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around forever.
Wow.
And as you see like the different, you know, the, all the monuments of the gods and the different rulers, you can see how, okay, they understood the concept of worship.
Mm-hmm.
But they needed these safeguards.
Yeah.
And so you have Jews in Rome coming to faith in Christ, and you have these pagans coming into faith in Christ.
Yeah.
So having these this very strong framework presented to them was very, very necessary. And it applies to us today.
Yeah. Now, if I remember correctly, Pastor Zach had us pick up, was it verse
26?
It was. Okay.
Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 32 is basically where he had us. And then he picked up later at the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
So the whole chapter is awesome.
The whole letter is amazing. Like you were just talking about. Great. I'm glad that you kind of reiterated what Pastor Zach was saying, but this part on the Spirit, and I just want to say this too. If you didn't catch the summer series, the Bible teaching series, 1 Corinthians 14 is what Pastor Zach was referencing in terms of the two types of tongues.
I believe there's a recording of
that. There is a recording of it. So we encourage you to go back and listen. Pastor John did one of the best teachings I ever heard. So to have 2.5 or 3 weeks later, Pastor Zach follow up on this regarding tongues and interpretation, and then a what we have termed a spiritual language or a heavenly language that we're using to articulate the difference, it's pretty amazing. And Paul covers the edifying yourself in 1 Corinthians 14 and the public tongue that requires an interpretation.
Mm.
But again, if you've struggled over the years with tongues and like, oh, they shouldn't be present in church unless there's an interpretation. Again, I just want to applaud Pastor Zach because I thought he just cut it right down the middle, sliced it up real good on Sunday. If you're going to have a demonstrative outburst of a tongue, there better be some type of interpretation either from you or from somebody else. But if you're going to have believers during a worship setting and they're just like praying in the Spirit because there's no other language that they have. Like,
I mean, I've had people pray over me and they are praying in tongues.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the words they're saying in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can feel and discern how they are ministering to me.
Yeah.
So it's going beyond my mind, and it calls me back to the Spirit. And you can feel how the Lord is building you up.
Well, I mean, you're literally quoting the Scripture because it says the Scripture teaches that the things of the Spirit are not understood through the mind. They're understood and discerned through the Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's the Spirit himself that searches the deep things of God and then reveals them to us through the Spirit. And I think, you know, Luke, and this is what Pastor Zach was bringing up on Sunday, for us, and again, is it being a New Englander? I don't know. I was born and raised here, so maybe, but I don't know how people think elsewhere. I've only traveled a little bit. You've traveled a whole lot more than me. But we tend to feel like, unless I actually understand the why.
I think it's a human thing.
I think it's a human
thing. It's a human thing.
Yeah. I struggle until I can understand the why.
Yeah.
And there is a beauty to faith, not blind faith, but there is a beauty to faith of embracing the mystery.
Yeah.
And Paul himself, who wrote Romans, is in Ephesians later on and many times referencing this mystery.
Yeah.
This mystery of the kingdom.
Yeah.
So as Pastor Zach was saying on Sunday, like, please don't feel like you have to have a handle on understanding before you can either A, receive or be open to receiving, you know, a tongue. Or a spiritual language that would, why? What's the benefit? I personally believe that every believer should desire the gifts as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And I think you ought to ask for a tongue. Why? Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that he who prays in a tongue edifies himself.
Right.
Why wouldn't I want that? But I know for many of us, it was like a mental struggle to get past that place. But there's nothing wrong. You can go your whole life.
No.
Because it's okay.
And I think this is why in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, earnestly desire the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Yes. And prophesying is giving voice to what the Spirit is revealing to you.
That's it.
And there are times like I pray in English.
Yep.
And I know I am speaking in concert with the Holy Spirit.
So good.
So I don't speak in tongues. I haven't spoken in, you know, like another language through my spirit. But it's that same principle of giving voice to what the Holy Spirit is leading.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's tongues.
Yeah.
And God chooses to give them that gift and seek the gift. And you don't know. Like, I would basically say, don't put a limit on the gifts that God can give you.
That's it.
Right? So I don't speak in tongues today, but I could tomorrow or even later today. Who knows? You're like, you don't know.
You
don't know. Like, you see that in Acts. It was like, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came.
Yeah.
So be open for the suddenly.
Yeah. And be open. I mean, you're reading 1 Corinthians 12 before you even get to 14 with the tongues and interpretation of tongues. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the multiple gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the greatest of all, which is love. So we should be desiring the greatest gift, but we should also be desiring the gifts.
Yes.
You see that the Holy Spirit distributes as he sees fit and as he wills. So it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And yeah.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite verses where it talks about how the Holy Spirit prays for us
and our
with groanings that can't be put into words.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our weaknesses, it can be hard to even verbalize what we're going through.
I know.
And take comfort from, okay, even the Holy Spirit doesn't have the words in your language to capture what you're going through. It goes even deeper than that, but the Holy Spirit is praying for you and knows all things. And Pastor Zach said there may be some prayers that need to be prayed that cannot be prayed with words you can understand. And that is so comforting.
Yeah.
And again, it pulls us back to the reality that we do not just live in a physical world.
That's
it's a spiritual reality.
That's right. Well, this is so good because you can actually just go beyond tongues because literally the tongue is not mentioned here. It's groanings.
Yes.
And we can use a lot of context of New Covenant to understand that.
Yep.
But I love that because I will tell you that, you know, the old school prayers and intercessors, they would talk about travailing.
Mm.
And they would talk about groaning in the spirit.
Yeah.
And I would be like, okay, you know, what's that all about? But you see here an awesome piece of scripture because there have been times in my life when I have no, like,
Amen.
I can't
yeah,
even
I agree.
Pray in a
yep.
tongue and I can't even
yep.
pray in English, my native language. And I'm just like, oh, I'm sensing, like, this
You're
is
groaning.
A deep groan.
Yeah.
And I'm like you just said, if I didn't read this, I wouldn't have known that I can take comfort that the Lord actually hasn't abandoned me.
No.
That's not why I'm groaning.
No.
It's because the Holy Spirit is with me.
Yeah.
And there's something that's only going to come out through that groan.
Right.
And it's just so, it is comforting, Luke. You're right.
It's
very comforting.
It's like spiritual birth pangs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would encourage us actually groan. If that is what you're feeling in your spirit, groan before the Lord, take it before him, and know that he is present with you in those groans, that he is present with you in these trials and tribulations. And and Romans talks about how it's through those trials and tribulations that you have more faith, you develop perseverance and hope, you start to realize what is real, what is alive, what is true through going through those travails.
That's so good. You know, and as the passage moves along here, Luke, I have to say, I mean, being a word guy, as you know, Pastor Zach was joking about with me on Sunday, and being super, you know, diligent to take heed to this word.
Amen.
I love that he was saying, hey, guys, there's not even a comma here. When we get to some of the other passages, like, he works all things together for good. And we do. We kind of rewrite the scripture and we're like, we put a period or a comma where there isn't one. And he's like, no, he works all things together for the good of those who love him. And for those who are called according to his purpose. And so conditionally, you actually have something to look for. Am I loving him? Am I abiding? Jesus says, your love is evident by your abiding in me and abiding in my commands.
Amen.
That's how John 15, that's how I'm demonstrating my love for the Father. So, you know, all things are working. We're confident that he is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose.
Amen. And what I was meditating on yesterday and today is he works all those things to the good of those who love him.
Yeah.
And so that is, you can look at that as a promise that when you love God, when you give yourself to the Lord, he takes all of those messy things in your life before, after, present, you know, where, and he works them for the good.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't say that he takes the bad and makes it good. It says, oh, I'm going to redeem that. I'm going to work it for good.
Yeah.
Like nothing is wasted.
Yeah.
And it breaks down that lie of, oh, I wasted so many years or it's too late for me. Like when you really absorb that God is working all things together for his good, then it breaks that mindset.
Yeah.
Which really is a faithless mindset.
Yeah. It's good you're bringing this up because too many of us look back on our journey. We think of where we are today.
Yeah. And I could have been born on a pew with you.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. Whether you're like me and Luke, we could have been born on a pew or you come to the faith later, you tend to look back and there's some sense of regret that if I only knew then what I know now.
Yes.
And what you're saying here is so good because he, our Father, has the way to redeem everything.
And he's working
it together for the good of those who love him. And so because I love him, the only conditional requirement here is that my heart is for him.
Yes.
And if my heart is for him, I can trust. Mm-hmm. See, and you know, we break down this idea of, we haven't even gotten to the predestination part.
No.
But it's that idea of free will versus predestination. And he's already showing you before we get to predestination, mm-hmm. God is working with your will.
Yes.
God is working. So we get so, you guys like you and me, we've talked about this. We can be indecisive because we're afraid of making the wrong decision.
I want to get it right because I've gotten it wrong in the past. Okay.
So we're incapacitated and we don't make a decision.
Holy Spirit, show me now.
And the truth is, like, this scripture should be another comfort to us to realize, wait a minute, God gave me a brain. He gave me my heart. My heart is for him. My brain is attentive to him. Yeah. My spirit is willing. He's going to work it together. I don't have to worry that, like, I went off this way because I believed I was hearing from the Lord. Yeah. And every one of us has some story to tell about how we thought we heard from the Lord and we went that way. And I just want to go back because what the Lord keeps saying to me is, how do you know that you didn't hear from the Lord in that journey and he just worked it together for your good? We got to trust him.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And now we get to the real chunk. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So basically, he predestined us to become like Jesus.
That's exactly right. To me, and again, one of the best articulations I have ever heard on this passage and the other times when Paul writes about predestination, Pastor Zach summed it up perfectly. And I don't think you're going to get it by hearing it once.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to say this to you. You need to go back and you need to listen again because it's going to take some time. I've always had to kind of cut this up and look at it as he predestined the way. He predestined the way, and that is Christ.
Yeah.
Now, Pastor Zach went another whole level to actually break down, like, it's a predestination, not a predetermination. That's where your free option comes in, you know, because God always predestined the way. In fact, the scripture teaches that he has set eternity in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture teaches from Jeremiah to Hebrews that literally the time will come when God will write the word of his command on our hearts and on our minds.
Yeah.
So how does he do that? He does it through the Spirit. You know, and I think that because God has predestined the way, which is Christ, then everybody has that opportunity.
Yeah.
Many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
There is a choosing that takes place. And we tend to look at God and be like, oh, God, you know, are you separating? Like, are you saying the one that you're gonna go to heaven and you're gonna go to hell and you're gonna go to heaven and you're gonna go to hell? No, God looked out over the span of time and knew who would choose him.
Yeah,
he knew who would choose him.
Yeah,
we don't understand it.
No, we don't. We don't And I think that's where we have to have humility. Is okay. We are the created being.
Yes.
So it's not right of us to presume to know how God works in these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And he created time. We exist in time. He exists outside of time.
Yep.
So we only know this chronological
so good
way of looking through things.
Yeah.
And again, like, you'll hear different Oftentimes Pastor Zach will reference it. Like there's the Chronos and there's the Kairos. So if you ever hear Chronos, it's like chronological. So mm-hmm. that's like our earthly time. If you ever hear Pastor Zach talk about Kairos, it's like, okay, there's these eternal moments, this time that's like outside of our time.
Yeah.
And how that fits together, we don't know. So that's what we're tapping into here. And as you study church history, or maybe even in your own experience, you're going to see that there are different camps that people feel drawn to fall on, either free will yeah. or God is so sovereign that he makes everything happen exactly as he wants. Mm-hmm. And it can create a lot of division.
Yeah.
And I would say that that sort of division doesn't come from God.
Yep.
That comes from Satan. Yep. And what he's doing is he's trying to mask the powerful reality that is in this verse.
Yes.
And so we have to lay aside that argument. We have to lay aside that earthly way of thinking and understand that there are these two truths in tension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Pastor Zach was sharing when he was sharing what Pastor Mike O'Brien and that interaction with the woman in the park.
Yeah.
There are these two realities, yeah. which is that, yes, I have free will because that enables me to love God.
Yep. That's
but
right.
and to choose him. But then there is also, he is bigger than me and he chose me before I even like thought of him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very hard concept to reconcile. Certainly not something we're gonna tackle in 40 minutes.
You can't. You and, really can't.
But again, sometimes we settle on what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, like the secret things belong to the Lord and the things revealed are for us to know. And it's like, okay, we can do that. We can dismiss it. But I love that we don't have to dismiss this because clearly what you're saying is it's right here. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son.
Yeah.
What is that telling us? He predestined the way, which was Christ. Christ was the forerunner
yeah.
who was always going to be the answer.
Yeah.
You know, he knew before mm-hmm. the foundation, of course, this, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, you know, and God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We get really hung up on, oh, this person chose and that person clearly God didn't choose. In fact, no, you don't even know that at all.
You don't.
And the parable of the workers of the vineyard is actually a phenomenal example of Jesus teaching a heavenly principle. And it's like some come at the earliest hour of the day. Some come at the very last hour. And if you can think about it in terms of lifetime and lifespan, there are some who are going to, like the Jews, who have yeah. followed the Lord and listened to his voice. And then there are others who are going to come just at that last breath. And he makes the way available to everybody.
Yep.
There's so much evidence that shows that we have choice. If we didn't have choice, then yeah. Adam could not have sinned in the garden.
Yeah.
He could not have.
And it's the only way that God can receive worship.
Or just love.
Yes. Yes.
Love has to be. And yeah, I won't say on that. Yeah. But yes, love has to be freely given.
Yes.
And freely Amen. Received. So it's awesome. I think there's so much here you and I would love to stick on because
yeah.
we're both teachers.
Well, and I've also, I told you a little bit about this before we started recording, but I've been receiving so much comfort just from resting on the fact that because I always grew up like more emphasizing free will, mm-hmm. right? And then, but it causes, when you do that, it can cause you to miss out on some of the aspects of God is sovereign and he's in control of your life, guiding it and shaping it. And, you know, just understanding, okay, God has predestined me to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So yeah. me looking like Jesus is the final destination. It is the outcome.
That's exactly right.
And God is committed to me.
Mm.
And so, and if he was that committed to me, even when I looked less like Jesus years ago, he is very committed to me. Now, like his commitment to me never changes. He's going to work things in my life. He's going to keep teaching me. He's going to keep calling me back. That's I just so have to love him.
You do. You know, Luke, it's interesting because you and I can look at this and we can be okay because we're believers. And most of us sitting in church can feel comfortable with this because we're believers. But the question then arises, well, what does this have to do with the world? What about people who are lost? And I would like to say what Peter actually writes. Peter kind of summarizes it in 2 Peter 3:9. And he says, many of you are saying that God is slow to have Christ return, but he's not slow as you would measure time. He's actually long suffering, not willing that any should perish. And so I really love what you're bringing up here because it's a reminder that, you know, God is even working in the lives of unbelievers. He's actually working in this time in the lives of unbelievers because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And you can see that as the scripture is laid out from the old to the new covenant, you can see that God is working with kings who don't want anything to do with him.
Yes.
God is reaching out to an Ethiopian eunuch. God is reaching out to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, people who just don't know any better.
Yep.
And so even with this idea that God has placed destiny and has placed purpose and eternity in our hearts, that he is willing to work with everybody up until their last breath.
Yeah.
Last breath.
Yep.
I would even dare say, like, people, when you get to predestination, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but people often pull up Pharaoh and Esau and Jacob, you know, and they use those as examples because the scripture says that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And you have to really understand what's being communicated there. Or Esau, I have hated, Jacob, I have loved. And you have to study it out to understand, like, God didn't set his heart against these people. He knew, God knew by being who he was, they were going to be set against him, just like Satan was set against God, you know?
So Amen.
I just think it's awesome how God is still working with people in the world. His desire is for everyone to be saved.
Yeah, I was reading in Acts 4 today for my personal devotions, and there was a passage, because in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John get arrested for preaching about Jesus and having healed the man who was lame at the beautiful gate at the temple. And then they pray. So they pray at the end of chapter 4, and it really captures both this recognition of God's sovereignty, but then also still asking God to work. So it really illustrates how they live this out. So reading down in verse 27. They're praying to God, for truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Mm. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness.
Wow.
And to me, that just illustrates how we are to take these theological truths pray to the Lord and expect him to move even while he's using all things in the world. We should still have an expectation and an earnestness for the spiritual gifts. Expect to see signs and wonders, because our role in this world is to make manifest the things of God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I'm blown away by how we're getting to a healthier understanding of this predestined, you know?
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of research a little while ago, because, you know, Calvinism, and Calvin is like, John Calvin's the number one person that comes up. And I was doing some study, and it was actually what I was discovering was that, you know, the way that many Calvinists, and this was just sort of the proposal of the article, was that the way that many current Calvinists are interpreting what John Calvin was communicating and what the early Calvinists believed is not exactly what they would have adhered to back then, that it wasn't as like strict as what man is trying to make it now. So again, when we encounter these doctrines or these theological debates, I love what you said earlier, like, hey, they kind of exist in this tension.
Yeah.
And it's really important that we endeavor to keep the bond of perfection, of unity and love among another.
Amen.
So, it's awesome.
Amen. So as we close, what's a final thought or encouragement that you would leave for us? What's a next step if we still have questions?
Yeah, you know, I would honestly say when you get into Paul's writings in the New Covenant, he talks about getting caught up with all the wrong things. Yeah. He says, don't get caught up in all these genealogies and disputes over what you're believing and who's right and who's wrong. Like, stick to these basics that are in the scripture, you know? Mm-hmm. And what did he tell Corinth? I have determined. Paul, who had amazing revelations with mm-hmm. Christ getting caught up to the third heaven, Paul said that I've determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I think, hey, listen, we don't need to go and die on mountains that we're not totally sure about. We don't need to be pointing our finger, wagging our finger at other believers. I think the greatest thing that is happening in our time, Luke, is what you mentioned at the start of the show, that we are all uniting under Jesus. We're all uniting under Messiah, Yeshua. I'll tell you what, it's been so beautiful right now to see a resurgence of his real name and to hear like, okay, there are even a lot of messianics that we're reconnecting with. It's really awesome because we're so Western, honestly, sometimes, and we think that this unity is just with us. We have forgotten that we're a part of a greater body. It's our Jewish brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You know, So I think sticking to those things is awesome.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's close in prayer and we'll get on with our week.
All right, dude. Thanks
Lots
for having
me. Lots of exciting
me
things to be part of.
Am I praying?
Yes.
I love it. Thanks for the invitation.
You're going to bless us.
All right. Father, I thank you so much for this time. Thanks for being back here with Luke. Thank you for the show. Thank you for the things we studied and talked about. And Lord, we just pray that it's your word that's being communicated, not our interpretation of your word, not the way that we're choosing to understand your word. But, you know, wherever there may be error in what we're saying, we thank you for just cleaning it up and making it clear and understandable. Thank you that your word is clear and concise. Your word is a discerner of the will and the intent of the heart. Your word cuts through spirit and soul and joint and marrow. It is the perfect way. It is a living word. And so we thank you for using both your word and your spirit to lead us so we know how to walk by the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Luke.
All right, guys, go out, live the life that Jesus has called you to live. Know that you are being conformed to the image of Jesus every single day. And we'll see you on Sunday.